Good morning. I call the Senate Finance Committee meeting to order. The time is about 9:50 in the morning, Friday, March 6, 2020. Please turn off your cell phones. I am Senator Von Imhoff. I'm joined today by Senator Stedman, Senator Bishop, Senator Olson. We also have Senator Stevens and President Giesel with us as well. Before we do our one item on the agenda, and we have Senator Wilikowski. I don't know if Senator Olson, if you have a special announcement you'd like to make.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I do. I'd like to go ahead and congratulate the person, because I heard from, I think it's Utrecht this morning, that somebody's having a birthday today, and it happens to be the co-chair of finance. So I want to wish him a happy birthday from the Finance Committee, those people that are here, and everybody else involved that's either watching on TV or whatever else. So we won't ask you what year it is, what number it is, but we still want to have a happy birthday.
Thank you, Senator Olson. I just want to remind everybody I'm 16 times 4, so I'm still under 30.
Madam Chair, if I could just comment on that. The concern is not so much whether the numbers are there. The question is what the trend is. Are you like wine, where you're getting better and more tastier with age, or are you getting more and more like vinegar where you're kind of over
sour?
Yeah, sour with age. We won't have an answer for that now. Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. Well, in essence of time, I think we'll wait to sing, and we'll do it when there is a special cake. Okay, so we have one bill on the agenda today. It is the college credit for high school students. Senate Bill, is it 30? Yes. So Senator Stevens will introduce the bill along with Mr. Tim Lampkin. And so we'll just have you present the bill, present the sectional, and then we have some folks online for invited testimony as well.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Gary Stevens from Kodiak. I appreciate your hearing this bill, Senate Bill 30 on middle colleges. It's an effort really to recognize the accomplishments that many of the states have already done, some 47 states, establishing a state-sanctioned collaboration between secondary and post-secondary institutions and schools, and encouraging students to finish their formal education. Lots of examples out there, Madam Chair, a lot of data supporting this concept, a lot of related research showing the success of dual credit and middle colleges. Generally, the merits of this program are pretty much not in dispute, and most folks, at least in education, seem to agree on its success around the country, helping students finish high school and at least beginning higher education. And I'll just mention avoiding remediation when students get to college and start college. They're ready to go and don't have to take remedial classes, which are just a waste of everyone's time and costly to the students and don't count towards the graduation. So if we can avoid remediation, I think that's really good. A lot of models out there that we could use, not one size fits all, and the challenge has been for us to find a program that fits Alaska, and we believe we're getting close with the bill before you. We do have a CS, eventually we would like to have you consider, which really puts the onus on the University of Alaska, not on the school districts, which I think will be a major change, and Tim Lampkin will go into some details on that. Actually, I wish my children had the access to a program like this when they were going to high school. One of my oldest daughter went to a school, a university that is now $50,000 a year. It wasn't that when she went, but it is that now. And I can imagine, you can imagine what that would have done to my retirement plans if she had not spent that $200,000. Anyway, it's to help students and help their families. Allows students to graduate from high school with 1 or even 2 years under their belt, and certainly would have helped in many cases. I'm happy that we have programs like this, and I think we're moving forward, and actually anxious to talk to you about the CS that is prepared. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. When I did serve on the school board and visited the middle college, the first program out in Eagle River, and saw the kids in action and talked to the faculty And it is a tremendous program. And when I interviewed some of the kids, they said, you know, we never really knew what college was all about. So we got to sort of like test drive it. And now I really, really want to go. And so it was a game changer for a lot of these kids. So this is a great program. And it's been around for several years, at least with the Anchor School District and the Mat-Su School District with the University of Alaska.
Well, absolutely, Madam Chair. It's a success in many larger districts around the state. This would allow putting the university in charge of the program, working with the districts, would really allow us to enter into smaller schools, even village schools, and the students could take classes that could then move them forward in their future.
So I understand that we have a sectional in front of us, and so if you'd like to go through the sectional, but then also maybe discuss what Senator Stevens just alluded to in regards to potentially a transition to a slightly different model of having the university more involved. Senator Olson has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And this is a question for the bill sponsor and maybe even for his staffer, but one of the issues that I see that has been a concern is that if for some reason you have these younger people that are going to be going to college and graduate from college earlier, what about the consideration of the awkwardness that they're not socially developed, where they are ill prepared to fit in with society once they get out, even though they have advanced degrees, where you have essentially these very educated, as somebody told me, that very educated idiots that are out there that can't interact with people that are their peers now because they're too young.
Well, thank you, Senator Olson, through the chair. You know, as when I was a professor at the university, I often had students from the high school signed up in my classes and taking classes with adults. And sometimes, I remember one class I had a lady who was in her 60s and a student who was 16. And but they worked well together. And those students who are prepared to go, prepared to move ahead, they had no problem adjusting to working with adults. So I think it's a learning process, but. I might take an exception to the educated idiots. I mean, having more education, I suppose, than I need, you become suspect around here, and I'd include you in that group with several college degrees as well. But
thank you, Madam Chair. No further questions. Speaking of earthies,
I think if did you mention that when the kids in middle college generally are together, they're not oftentimes integrated. Is that correct? They're usually separate.
It can be done in several ways, and students can take a class on their high school campus, actually taught by certificated teachers who have the academic background to teach, say, a master's in biology if they're teaching a biology class. So we would require certainly that they have the academic requirement, the teacher, to do that. So you could actually take the class in a high school situation. Many high schools are already doing that, and actually the example you brought up, it's all high school students at the middle college. But there's also a possibility of taking it on the university on a college campus, extended college campus, or university campus, or even taking it online. So there are all sorts of opportunities out there for folks.
Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Stevens, thank you for bringing this bill forward. So far, I just got to ask a question. I don't think it precludes any high school student that would want to enter the two-year AA degree programs, you know, because not everybody's going to go on to a four-year bachelor or master's. So could, with this bill, could our students that still want to get the welding certificates, the automotive certificates, aviation, et cetera, would this apply to them as well?
Absolutely. It encourages everyone to go ahead and get some college credit, whether they're going into a vocational study or into a working on a bachelor's degree.
Thank you.
And Mr. Lamkin is here with me. He's been working on this bill, and I appreciate him going through some of the details that we have not talked about.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Tim Lamkin, staff to Senator Stevens and the Senate Education Committee. Before you, Senate Bill 30, version K, as a summary of the bill, it is responsive to the fact that there's a lot of data out there that shows participating in middle college and dual credit programs substantially improves students' success in both high school graduation rates as well as inspiring them to at least enter post-secondary education. So your comments earlier are very welcome, and in fact, the very goal of this bill to inspire students to want to go not necessarily college, but to first of all finish high school and then be inspired to pursue an academic career at a post-secondary level, whether that be in arts or English or welding and auto service, so forth. Now, of course, there's several different models out there, different vernacular words uses, middle college, dual credit, early college, and so forth. And this bill that before you represents a hybrid of those things. It's not intended to micromanage the system. You'll find in the bill that it's designed to provide a lot of flexibility, that currently the way it's crafted, and we negotiated this with the stakeholders, school districts, the department, and the university, that there shall be an agreement. There shall be a contract of some sort to work with individual districts, but that contract may consist of, say, one course, or it may consist of quite a portfolio of courses to allow that flexibility based on the needs, demands, and interests, and eligibility of any respective district. That's the overall purpose and thrust of the bill here. We have negotiated over the past several months since last session with the university, with school districts, the players involved to craft a new bill. We've worked quite a bit with changing some of the language in version K. There is a new version that's forthcoming, it's imminent. And so because of that, I would offer to you that we might hold off, in the interest of time today, hold off on a sectional on version K because it's essentially obsolete.
So the new version, what's the main difference in the new version that you're looking at?
The main version, or the main difference between the two, for example, would put the onus on the university. As Senator Stevens indicated, there was concern about who is taking lead on this project. And so in talking with districts and with the university in particular, they agreed and actually volunteered to take lead on this and be the ones to initiate contact with each respective district to work with them to see, is there an interest? Can we develop the middle college with your district? And if so, how to sort that out? The way the bill's crafted provides that there will be an agreement of some sort, but that they work out the details and mechanics of what works for each respective district.
So that's my question. Is this a mandate? Is this mandatory? When you said there will be an agreement of some sort, so all 53 districts are required then to engage with either the University of Alaska or potentially the University of Alaska Pacific University or some university? Is that what you're saying?
I can point you, Madam Chair, point you to page 2 of version K on lines 20 to 23, where it currently reads that each school district shall enter into an agreement with the university. And in this instance, we flipped it, that the university shall enter an agreement with each school district for the purposes of carrying out the program. Now, then it goes into detail, of course, as to the basic things that we're looking for, but in terms of how it's paid for, expenses associated with the program, transfers of funds, what programs are offered, whether that be just one class, if it be virtual, or if it be if there's a university facility in that area, the extent of which they want to utilize and participate in the program. It could be one class, it could be a portfolio.
So when you say shall participate, if a school district says, nah, no, thank you, we're good.
Then that agreement could reflect that there is no interest, no eligible students in that district.
And the university or the district, neither one will be on the hook to carry it any further. There will be no ramifications or accountability to carry it any further with the shall language.
The intent of the language of the bill would provide them that flexibility, that the agreement is that they, at this time, do not have sufficient resources or interest or eligible students to participate in the program.
And Madam Chair, I think this has been very supported by the university, university president and others. You'll be hearing from some university folks today, I believe. And I see it as a real opportunity for the University of Alaska to get more students, more Alaskans entering the college, entering the university. One of the problems we found is that students at this present time were fewer students at the university than there once was. And you'd think that, well, maybe younger people have the opportunity of going outside, but what they're choosing to do is not to go to college, which is really a shame. And so, as I said, the university is supportive of this, and we'll hear about that. I think it'll add a lot to the University of Alaska. It'll bring more students into the university, and of course, the assumption is that once a student starts taking a couple of classes, maybe does some work in their high school, begins to develop a transcript, that has the University of Alaska on it, that they may be more likely to continue with the university, which, of course, is our university, and we want to make sure that it's successful. So I think there's some real advantages here to both the districts and the university.
It's a compelling position, and I understand, and I think I see Senator Wilikowski, but the one question that I have, and we can answer it with maybe with the university as well, is just the flow of money. So does the BSA follow the student and stay with the district, or does it part of it or all of it go to the university to help pay for the classes? So if you can answer that, great, and if not, then we'll find, is the university would might know, or a district?
Madam Chair, Tim Lampkin, for the record, it depends, and it will vary, and so therefore, and we also have on record some examples of MOUs that currently exist with Anchorage, Mat-Su, Fairbanks, as well as their eCampus program. And I'd be happy to provide those as models, and you'll see that it will vary to the extent of how much participation is taking place. But I would have the university and or the district speak to the specifics.
Thank you. So we're going to go to them in just a moment, but Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you. It says that college credit earned is fully transferable within the University of Alaska system. Do you know if the credits would be transferable to any other universities or colleges?
Through the Chair, Senator Wilikowski, at this time, it's the programs intended to apply for credits earned in a state high school would apply only to University of Alaska. And I suspect, although again, Dr. Lehrer can confirm this, that for accreditization purposes, it may be more problematic for dual credits to transfer out of state, but that's for an academic issue.
I think it's potentially maybe up to each university. I know that high school students now can take AP classes, advanced placement classes in math and science, and depending on the scores they receive on those national exams, they may or may not receive credit their freshman year to place out of regular level classes for math or science or English or whatnot. So I would imagine that it's probably up to the university to each university across the United States or where have you to make that decision.
Yes, and just comment on that. Today, we cannot control what outside universities allow University of Alaska students to transfer, what's accountable to them. So it's really out of our control, but I do believe that under the accreditation rules, we have good, solid academic standards in the University of Alaska.
Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just along those lines, but not so much. I'm going back to the beginning. 10 years ago, well, it's been longer than 10 years ago now, probably 14 years ago, there was lots of conversation around this table and in the other body on graduation rates for high school students. Very poor. And I think this bill will go a long way. I mean, and we've improved that. But I think this bill will help further improve that way some of these young students getting on a pathway to with this middle college model, it could further improve outcomes for high school seniors to graduate. Thank you.
So we have a couple folks on the line. Are you ready to move in that direction? We have Mr. Paul Lehrer, Vice President, Academic Students and Research, University of Alaska Fairbanks. Okay, so Mr. Lehrer, you have the bill in front of us. Would you care to comment on behalf of the University of Alaska?
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. For the record, Paul Lehrer, Vice President for Academic Students Research with the University of Alaska System. Thank you very much for the opportunity to address you. I would like to mainly entertain questions, but one of the questions that was just raised I would like to address, and that is the question of transfer and of courses. The student enrolled in a dual enrollment class, for example, a math algebra, college-level algebra class, is in a college-level algebra class. The grade and their transcript do not have an asterisk that say this was part of a dual enrollment program. They are a University of Alaska student. That course is a university course, whether it's taught on one of our campuses or online or through one of these current dual enrollment programs where a high school teacher is approved to teach the class. It is college algebra. It is fully transferable anywhere in the United States to another accredited university. The University of Alaska is an accredited university, or each of our universities are accredited, and so if they take a college-level algebra class, through this program and receive college credit for it by passing that class, it is transferable wherever they want to go. And fulfilling that requirement as another university may require that class. So I don't see an issue with the transferability question. Again, a student gets credit, it gets college credit, but they also get the high school credit for that program. Also, as you may see in our fiscal note, revised fiscal note, currently there's a lot of different models out there that we are engaged in across the state to provide dual credit programs. You are familiar and you referred to the Anchor School District and Matsu District programs, middle college, where the students come on our campuses and are fully immersed in our programs and our courses. They are essentially mainstreamed into courses across our campus. Some are by cohort and some are individual for students who want to pursue individual courses, including CTE courses. We are going to introduce that with the Fairbanks School District this next fall with another cohort of 40 students. We also offer an online option for students and programs, and this is really to address challenges from several online providers from out of state who are also coming in and vying for our dual credit type programs. But we have agreements now over the last year with 30 school districts across the state to provide dual credit options for students who may not be able to come to one of our campus centers. And then finally, we've had always a long-standing dual credit program where we certify high school teachers with the appropriate credentials, as Senator Stevens mentioned, who can come and who can teach those same classes following our curriculum, following our student learning outcomes, so that when the students finish those courses, they can receive college credit as well as meeting high school requirements. So the key, I think, in our working with districts is that flexibility, the ability to come up with a model that works for the students in that district, given the logistics, given where they are located, given everything from their access to online. And that, I think, works the best. And so we have online agreements with now 30 districts and counting, and also the opportunities for students to come onto our campuses and be immersed in college education. Finally, I will say that given the data that we're seeing from MAPSU and Anchorage, which have been the longest standing programs, those students do tend to want to come back to or come to the University of Alaska for follow-on education. And so for us, it's been a very good recruiting tool for students to see what university life is like, what University of Alaska Anchorage in our case is like, and to come to University of Alaska Anchorage or one of our other universities. And so we see this has been very successful partnerships that we've had and have built over the years with our districts. And I'll be happy to answer other questions you might have.
Do we have any questions? Senator Wilikowski has a question.
Is this program available to kids that are outside the public school system, say private schools or homeschooling?
Through the chair, yes, Senator Wilikowski, we have some of those 30 districts, if you will, that we have agreements with are the homeschool districts, working with those students who are in homeschool. Right now, this bill does not provide for working with some of the private schools. It is really working with those districts and the homeschoolers. And the homeschoolers have been that group has been very eager in participating in our online programs. It's worked very well for us. We also had homeschoolers coming onto our campuses in the past to get various activities such as physical education and meet other requirements. And so I think it's a very good group for us to work with, and it's been a very successful one for us.
Any further questions? Thank you, Mr. Lair. Appreciate the testimony. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 folks online. I'd like to open public testimony for this. I think we have the time. If we can, everyone can limit it to about 2 minutes. So I'm going to go ahead and do that now. So public testimony is open for Senate Bill 30. whom we have on first is Scott McManus, followed by Karen Gobrick. So Scott, you're up.
Yes, hello, can you hear me?
We can hear you, yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you. My name is Scott McManus, Superintendent of Alaska Gateway School District. Members of the Senate Finance Committee, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity this morning to speak about providing opportunities for our students who are ready to go to college. In the early 90s, I was the coordinator for the Interior Tech Prep Consortium out of the University of Alaska Fairbanks and established the basis for many of the tech prep agreements that are still in place today. Since I moved to Alaska Gateway 22 years ago, hundreds of our students have earned tech prep and dual credit in the areas that range from veterinary science to welding, and we have had many students earn their associate's degrees through the local UAF campus. In the past 4 years, through cooperative agreements between four interior school districts and the University of Fairbanks, 239 students have earned college credit. Half a dozen students in the past 15 years have walked down the aisle to get their AS degrees from the university, and then the next day walked down the aisle to get their high school diploma. We support students who are demonstrably capable of being challenged at a higher academic level in a way that is customized to their personal aspirations. We make these opportunities available because we care about what is best for our kids, and because in our small school systems, we have the ability to tailor our program designed to student interests and abilities and to leverage our small size into an advantage. For example, we are currently collaborating with three other school districts and the university on a project that uses sled dogs in our village as a vehicle for our students to learn medical, veterinary science skills that transfer into other healthcare fields, and they are earning college credit in veterinary sciences. We have projects in place right now that share resources with Alaska Gateway, Copper River, Yukon Koyukuk, and Tanana City Schools to develop and support village entrepreneurialism, construction trades, and entry into education. Nearly 100% of the students in my district who we enroll are successful in earning credit because of the support that we provide them. So it will come to no surprise to you that we do not have some of the same opportunities that the student in Anchorage or Fairbanks or Mat-Su might have, or the economies of scale, and I appreciate the changes that that have been made to this bill in version K. So we strongly support opportunities for our students to take college classes. We think it's important. We know our students. We counsel the right ones into these programs, and we support them with teachers who are assigned to monitor their progress so they don't get dropped through the cracks in a larger university system. And it sounds like some of those issues that we had expressed earlier in the first iteration have been addressed. So I appreciate that the middle school idea be supported statewide. I appreciate the state guidance and the support of Senator Stevens' office to this idea. And with the changes that I have learned about here recently in version K, we strongly support your passage of SB 30.
Thank you very much, Mr. McManus. Next up, we have Karen Gibberick, followed by Sean Arnold. So Karen, you're up.
Hi, thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate the opportunity to testify today regarding SB 30 and middle college programs. My comments will reflect those of Dr. Lehr. And I just, again, want to reiterate, it's important to note that Fairbanks and UAF have had dual credit opportunities for high school students for many years, so the concept of students earning dual credit is not new. And there's a variety of mechanisms that students can do that. So we are standing up North Star College, which will begin next fall. This particular model is similar to the Mat-Su and Anchorage model, and it utilizes a cohort model in which students will be taking UAF classes on the Fairbanks campus. And college courses are fully integrated into each student's high school curriculum. And there's going to be a dedicated space on the UAF campus for North Star students to take their courses with their cohort colleagues, check in between classes, access services on campus, study, and socialize. The school district will cover the cost of most tuition, most fees, and books. We're also going to provide a full-time counselor to collaborate with UAF staff. Next year, for our model, our program is open to seniors only and will accept up to 40 students. So I think I have the most current version of the bill. If not, I apologize. I reviewed the draft that was sent to me, and I do have a few thoughts for you. The title indicates that a middle college program needs to be established. Again, I think there just needs to be an acknowledgement that middle colleges exist. The bill prescribes a statewide model, but I can tell you from my experience the last 12 months working on this project, that a localized approach between the school district and the UA campus that is directly involved is critical. And this is true for curriculum decisions, for tuition and fee decisions, for overall structure, student eligibility, and more. And while we've been conducting ongoing extensive research with the folks involved with MATSU and Anchorage, the Fairbanks School District and UAF have taken the parts of those programs that make the most sense for us and combined that with the unique needs of our community and developed a model that works for Fairbanks. We have also been very intentional about who is eligible and how many students will be involved in the first year because we want to structure for success. I'm also very cognizant of the cost to our school district, especially in the first few years of rollout. We are currently facing reduced revenue due to the elimination of the supplemental education funding in the governor's budget. So to dedicate significant funds to a brand new program is something that has to be managed very carefully at the local level. I mentioned at the beginning that Fairbanks and UAF have dual credit opportunities to high school for many years. And again, Dr. Lehr mentioned the UAF eCampus Advantage program. So I just want to highlight that Fairbanks students are taking advantage of that. I have a couple comments on specific sections.
So what we're hoping at this point is we understand that you have extensive knowledge and a lot to offer on this particular bill. And what I ask that you do is if you could provide it in writing directly to the sponsor's office. I'm assuming that this is this invited testimony, Mr. Stevens, that I'm unaware of, or is this is public testimony at this point? That's public testimony. So, Ms. Gaybrook, you have incredible knowledge and lots to offer for this bill, but we are trying to limit it to about two and a half minutes per person. Can you contact Senator Stevens' office directly and talk to him about your concerns?
Absolutely. I would be happy to do that. Thank you.
Okay. So if you could just wrap up, just spend a couple 10 seconds or 15 seconds just to wrap up your thoughts and then contact the senator directly.
Sure. I'm very supportive of the interest in dual credit in middle colleges and would just advocate for a localized approach because in my experience that partnership with the university that each district works with is critical. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have next up is Mr. Sean Arnold, followed by Monica Goyette.
Yeah, hi. Thank you very much, Madam Chair and members of the committee. So for the record, my name is Sean Arnold, and I'm the president of the Alaska Superintendents Association. So thank you for today for the opportunity to testify. We begin by stating that we support voluntary participation in the Alaska Middle College program established in SB 30 that gives students options for enhancing their high school education experience. School districts across the state are providing outstanding dual enrollment course opportunities and have done so for many years through local agreements with institutions of higher education. However, we believe that SB 30 may create some financial challenges for smaller school districts. While we support the increased opportunities for students in SB 30, the program could easily become an example of a mandate that is placed upon public schools without additional funding to support it. All unfunded mandates force us to reallocate our resources. This simply means that we have less resources to contribute to areas that we believe are important for the entire K-12 programming, such as increasing reading proficiency. Please consider amending the bill to include full funding for all districts who wish to participate in the Alaska Middle College program and remove the language requiring all students to participate, which, supporting that change from the May till shall, that's a great step. It's a great program that we support. We support increased opportunities being available for all students that are ready, eligible, and want to support that moving forward. And this bill does impact school districts different depending on the scale. It does pay the larger districts, but the cost for the smaller districts may vary. However, it should be done organically as it has already been done through Anchorage School District, Mat-Su, Kodiak, and Fairbanks, not forced as an unfunded mandate. So thank you for this time, and thank you for your service.
Thank you very much, Mr. Arnold, for your comments. Next up, we have Monica Goyette, followed by Mr. Daryl Bowers. So, Ms. Goyette, you're up.
Good morning, Chair Von Imhoff and Stedman and members of the Senate Finance Committee. For the record, I am Monica Goyette, and I'm the superintendent of the Mat-Su Borough School District. It is a pleasure to provide testimony on Senate Bill 30, an act establishing the Alaska Middle College Program for public school students. In the fall of 2010, we opened the first middle college in our district on the Chugiak Eagle River College campus with 47 students. This dual enrollment program provides the opportunity for students to take college-level courses that can currently meet the requirements for a high school diploma. Today, we have almost 200 students located on the Mat-Su College campus, including students enrolled in the ANSEP Accelerated High School Program. To date, our students have earned almost 20,000 university credits, and we have learned over time that there is no issue with these credits being accepted by other state-run universities. We do counsel our parents that private universities are sometimes more stringent in their acceptance. During this morning's testimony, I'd like to focus on three critical aspects of the program that benefit our students and families. These include scaffolded support, financial support, and academic enrichment. One of the primary concerns we often hear from the community is college readiness. When students enter into college and have to take remedial courses, they are paying for credits that are not degree-bearing and extending the time needed to complete a degree. Middle college students must qualify for college-level courses, and we have three district employees on campus to provide support. And our graduation rate is usually 97% to 100%. Just like career and technical education courses, when students enroll in those, we see a much higher graduation rate. Financial support is another benefit. We use K-12 dollars to pay for all expenses associated with college, including tuition and fees. This program is financially comparable to the cost of our high school students. So we get money from the state, we get money from our borough, and we use that to pay for this program. The average cost of sending a student to Wasilla High School is $9,800. The average cost for a student at the middle college is $9,700. And this benefits our university system as well, because we're providing a consistent student enrollment and a future pipeline, as Senator Stevens said. 53% of our middle college students stay enrolled with the program. Finally, I want to focus on academic enrichment. We find the typical middle college student to be self-driven and college and career focused. They're emotionally ready for a higher level of academic challenge. When we look at our middle college campus in the Mat-Su, the average passing rate for our middle college students is 84% versus a 72% as the aggregate as a whole. So the belief that these students aren't ready for this rigor is inaccurate. They're testing into this, and there is an enrollment process. So it's always our goal to meet the needs of our families and students, and we really cherish this as a great choice program. Thank you for your service.
Thank you, Ms. Goyette. We appreciate your testimony. We have next up is Daryl Bowers.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Daryl Bowers, and I'm the director of the IDEA Homeschool Program. I want to speak for the homeschoolers in the IDEA program, as well as homeschoolers around the state, to reference Superintendent Goyette's numbers, that it costs roughly $9,700 for a student to attend the middle college, and yet the base student allocation for a homeschool student is a little over $5,300. So there's not nearly enough money in the correspondence-based student allocation to cover the costs. Homeschool students are funded at 90% of the base student allocation. I would recommend at a minimum that juniors and seniors in correspondence programs, representing about 10% of all of the students in the state, that students who are juniors and seniors be considered for funding at 100% of the base student allocation, to help make up for some of the discrepancy in the allotment, the base student allocation versus the overall costs. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bowers. Is there anyone else online? Is there anyone in the room that wishes to testify on Senate Bill 30? Seeing and hearing none, public testimony is closed. Do any of the committee members have questions for the bill sponsor? Okay, so we're going to set this bill aside at a later date. That concludes today's meeting. On Monday, the committee will have a first hearing on HB 96, Pioneer Home Rates. We will also continue our work on SB 123, Rail Belt Electric System, and HB 196, Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation Procurement Exemptions. Let me know if you have any further questions. Have a great weekend. We are adjourned.